Good morning, Your Honors.
Ratzak.
Michael Ratzak. I'm here on behalf of the defendant's appellants, David Reuter, as the representative of Shirley Reuter's estate, and Justin Credian. These are the two individual plaintiffs who filed suit against various Crew Sales Corp, magazine sales corporations, and a company called ACS. Nautilus then filed its declaratory action in Indiana, alleging that there was no coverage provided and basing its argument that there was no coverage provided under the policies issued to the Crew Sales Corporation because the underlying conduct under Indiana law was regarded as intentional conduct. In other words, in Indiana, the negligent hiring is seen as an intentional act. In Illinois and in the other states that have some contact with this case, negligent hiring is considered an independent tort from the it's just considered an independent tort, in which case there would, in fact, have been an accident, and in which case there would be coverage under the policy. The district court judge, so the question is whether or not Illinois or Indiana law applies, and that's determined by Section 188 of the conflicts, of the restatement of conflicts, because that's what Indiana law applies. The district court judge, that analysis was really very, very brief. The district court basically said that the key factor was ACS's negotiation of coverage for the three sales crew or crew sales corporations. And we've not actually been able to determine why the district court felt that way. That is the only statement that's made in the opinion. There was no other source of why the court went to that point. But if we step back and instead look at the five different points that come under Section 188 and look to see how they apply to this case, we believe that those points, in fact...
What? I'm not sure I understand your argument.
Yes, sir.
Is it that these sales subsidiaries were in fact doing business in Illinois, that they actually had their principal place of business in Illinois?
Yes, it is. Our argument is that their place of business was in Illinois by virtue of the address of their business being here. And by
you can't make your principal place of business in Illinois, or for that matter, Botswana, by going to Mailboxes R Us and purchasing an address.
I agree. Your domicile is not.
The question I'm asking is whether you are saying, as a matter of fact, that that's where their principal place of business was located. That is their corporate headquarters, the place where you can find their top managers. That's what a principal place of business is.
That's correct. That is our position.
What in this record shows that their principal place of business was in Illinois?
The various things I believe we said on the brief, first and foremost, the addresses on the insurance policies obviously show this.
No, look, you see the problem. If somebody commits a fraud by saying, I'm located in state X, when in fact he's located in state Y, his own fraud is not evidence that he's located in state X. There must be some evidence extrinsic to his claim, which may be false, to show that he's located in X. That's the question I'm asking. I'm not asking whether they claimed to have addresses in Illinois. I'm asking whether they did. What in the record shows that they did?
First, at this point, nobody has determined that a fraud was involved. But the affidavit of Lynn Harvey said, my company, Phoenix, is in Illinois. I control it, and this is my address. This is where I work from. That's Lynn Harvey's affidavit, which is in our appendix. I submit to the court that in this unusual kind of a case where these three sales companies do business is unusual in terms of or because of how they run their business.
What was the prior litigation? Explain how that worked in the choice of law. Were you sued? Or had suits been brought against these corporations previously?
According to the newspaper information, yes. Not the three crew sales corporations that are involved in my case. Suit had been brought in other I presume that's what Your Honor is referring to. Suit had been brought in other states.
Well, in other words, Indiana would be the one to avoid because would preclude recovery, and the other states would permit recovery.
In some of the other cases, it didn't matter. In the case on which the district court judge relied, the Lloyds case, in that case, ACS was sued, and ACS was, in fact, the insured, the party to the contract, and that's not our situation here. In one of the other cases where they were sued, it's Exhibit 11 to the Nautilus's appendix. I believe it's also a Tennessee case. The issue was a separate issue, so although that court discussed the possible controlling law, it didn't have to reach that point. So there's no pattern of people trying to avoid Indiana. I think I would suggest what we have here is a pattern. It's not a pattern. Nautilus brought the declaratory in Indiana, I assume, because it thought it would be a sympathetic court. But nonetheless,
I've just read the affidavit of Lynn Harvey, and it doesn't say what you say it says. What Lynn Harvey says is, I have resided at so-and-so in Harvey, Illinois. And then there are a series of paragraphs which say, Phoenix Imagery was formed in February 2003.
Yes, sir.
During all times, I was the sole shareholder of Phoenix Imagery, and so on. It doesn't say where ACS or Phoenix Imagery do business.
No, sir, I agree. But if she is the shareholder, and that is where her business is at the address that's listed.
This document doesn't say that.
I respectfully disagree, only in the sense that no one has ever made that argument that affidavit does not show that Phoenix Imagery, in fact, does not have its headquarters in Illinois.
Who does it have any headquarters?
I think I'd have to step back and say every business has to have some headquarters.
Well, you got to sleep somewhere. But I'm talking about, don't they just go state to state with these crews?
They do, and that's the problem. That's the evanescent nature of it. They move from state to state. They go wherever they can sell magazines. In this case, though, all of the documentation, including the Illinois Department of Insurance's documentation, shows that they're registered in Illinois. And from that, we would ask the court to accept the implication that must be where they do business. The insurance policy issued here had to have a surplus lines affidavit attached to it, because Nautilus is not registered to issue insurance policies in Illinois. Now, in order to do that, you have to come to the state like Illinois, and you have to, we're not registered here, but you have to provide a surplus lines affidavit, in which case the carrier can in fact issue insurance here, which they did, but the insurance holder, the insured, does not have the benefit of the Illinois Guarantee Fund. But that's not something you just go to a window and do. That document has to be countersigned by the Illinois Department, by the Surplus Lines Association, under the statute that we've cited. And they did that. And I would suggest to the court that where you've gone through a state administrative agency procedure, and the fact the state appears to be satisfied that that's where your address is. Now, obviously, that could be contested at some point, but nobody has contested any of that in this case. And if somebody came back to the district court judge and said, well, that's not true, you know, the state Surplus Lines Association made a mistake, or the state tax people in Illinois made a mistake, then we could have addressed it. But I think the assumption has been all along that those are evidences of doing business, of having your principal place of business in Illinois. And if it's not a principal place of business in Illinois, then the next question I would guess would be, where is it? It's not everywhere. If it is everywhere, the Tomic case I cited suggests, well, where would you look for these people? Well, if you look anywhere for any of these three crew sales corporations, would it not be in Illinois? I mean, I don't think, I'm sure counsel would, well, they would go to Indiana because their address is listed in Indiana, because that's their place of incorporation.
What about ACS?
ACS, in fact, obviously has its place of business in Indiana. We've never quarreled with that. ACS, however, is not a party to the insurance contract or a third-party beneficiary of the contract.
I thought from the briefs that ACS is the insured.
No, sir.
For the contract.
ACS is an additional insured, and the argument made by Nautilus is that ACS applied for the insurance. Looking at what's in the record, ACS, when a new sales corporate, true sales corporation comes into existence, ACS, according to the testimony of Mr. Aliucci, gets the end address information, and that address information, from what I can tell on the record, is meant to be this is where you're going to do your business, and gives that information to Sun Insurance. The district court apparently thought that was, in fact, negotiating for the insurance, but in fact, all ACS is a conduit for the information from the Crew Sales Corporation to Sun Insurance, which in turn negotiates with...
So if I look at the actual policy in this case, who's the named insured?
Named insureds are Phoenix Imagery, Geo Innovators, and Unified Stars. The additional insured is ACS in these instances. And that's why I'm saying in the Tennessee case, ACS was, in fact, the insured. And if ACS was, in fact, the party to the insurance policy, that might change the evaluation. Even in this case, if the insurance policy is named all, if all four were parties to the policy, and I'm probably saying on the principle of deprecage where the courts in a conflict situation can separate the issues in the party, would say that Indiana law might apply to ACS, but Illinois law would apply to the three Crew Sales Corporations, which is a result that I couldn't quarrel with that.
They talk about the absence of a choice of law clause. Where would that have been had it been inserted and avoided all of this?
In the insurance policy. Nautilus could have put that in an insurance policy. In my experience, I don't think that's terribly unusual to do that. Interestingly enough, as between ACS and the Crew Sales Corporations, Nautilus relied upon the independent contractor agreement arrived at between ACS and these Crew Sales Corporations. But within that document, ACS and the Crew Sales Corporations, again, listed themselves as Illinois corporations. In other words, not Illinois registered corporations, not incorporated in Illinois, but Illinois businesses. Now, again, that could be the work of an entire fraud by all the persons involved, but there's no evidence of that in this case. So I think the implication is that they have to be doing business someplace. And if that business... If somebody said, where are Phoenix Imagery, where are the other two companies, they would probably, before anybody else, before any other state came into play, would be looked at as Illinois businesses. I mean, this is where, at least we know from Phoenix Imagery, this is where Lynn Harvey, the president, says, this is where I am. And if that's where she is, I think it's a decent implication that that's where the business is run from.
Well,
obviously, there's not much
two aspects of that. It's where it's incorporated and where its principal place of business is.
I'm sorry.
To be an Illinois or Indiana or whatever corporation, if you want to use that shorthand, it's where they're incorporated and then where their principal place of business is, which is often not the same.
That's correct. And in this case, it's even by our argument, it's not. They're all incorporated in Indiana. But the comment D to Section 188...
They're all incorporated in Indiana?
The three Crew Sales Corporations are Indiana corporations. They are incorporated in Indiana.
Well, all right. And so... What then happens if we think that everybody is in Indiana except Phoenix Imagery? What's the legal consequence of that?
In that case, the principle, I think, would apply that Illinois law would then apply to Phoenix Imagery and Indiana law would apply to the other two Crew Sales Corporations under the principle of deprecation.
What's the consequence of that for this litigation?
The consequence in this litigation would be that there would be no coverage. There would be no coverage for Justin Credion, and there would only be coverage for one of the two defendants in David Reuter's case. And effectively, if there's no coverage, that's going to be the end of those cases. Those cases were pending, and default judgments, I understand, were taken on them in some other state. Unless the court has questions at this point, I would like to reserve my additional time for rebuttal. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Mr. Tollefson.
May it please the court, counsel. The evidence shows that when Phoenix Imagery, which is the only one of the Crew corporations that even filed an answer in this case, filed with its articles of incorporation with the state of Indiana, it answered the question, what is your principal place of business? 1 Marine Drive, Apartment A, Michigan City, Indiana. That's the statement made when they filed that in 2002, February. They produced, Phoenix Imagery produced their income tax returns with the federal government. In that, they stated their address was Michigan City, Indiana. That's in the 1120S form. Lynn Harvey, in her K-1, represented to the United States that her address was Michigan City, or that Phoenix Imagery's address was 8557 Michigan City, Indiana.
Well, then don't we have a conflict in the evidence? The reading of Harvey's declaration most favorable to Harvey is that Phoenix Imagery has a principal place of business in Illinois. And normally when we have a conflict in the evidence, we need some fact-finding proceeding, do we not?
In a choice of, well, of course, the choice of law issue is one that the district court has to decide on its own.
Yeah, after finding facts.
Correct.
If they're in dispute.
I think Your Honor, though, hit it on the head that how can one's fraudulent statement in the insurance policy.
Look. I want to distinguish between statements made to Nautilus and its agents from statements made in this litigation. In litigation, if there's no finding of fact, no trial, disputes of material fact have to be taken in the light most favorable to the person opposing judgment. And it does look from the Harvey affidavit declaration, let's say, that she is saying, I live in Illinois, and at least Phoenix Imagery has its office in Illinois.
One of the, I think that, for one thing, that was not raised below. That there should have been a fact finding. And I think that one of the things that we have to look to, first thing, the address that she gives, 26225 Crete, is established in the
26225
record.
26225 South Victoria Lane
In Crete. And that is the address of Guy and Ivy O'Brien, who are the owners of ACS.
Now, look, it's entirely possible that this declaration is perjurious. But unless there's a finding of fact, how do we say just ignore a declaration made under penalty of perjury in litigation?
I think that we can go to exactly what Judge Sharp said in his memorandum of opinion after reviewing 1,000 pages of materials in this, and that is, the key factual event here appears to be the actions of ACS in an effort to procure and negotiate insurance on behalf of its shell corporations. It was also procuring it on behalf of itself. ACS was not a third-party beneficiary. It was an additional insurer. What that means is, under the separation of insurance provisions of the insurance policy, ACS had a separate policy with Nautilus itself of liability insurance. It was negotiating on its own behalf and on behalf of the shell corporations. Elements A and B of the restatement, section 188, say the first two elements we look to are, where is the place of negotiation? And, pardon me, forgot the other one. Where was the place of contracting? When ACS negotiated the contract on behalf of itself and on behalf of Phoenix Imagery here, it negotiated from Indiana on behalf of an Indiana company. And so therefore, I don't think that we need to even look to see, if we look to the fifth factor, domicile and place of incorporation of the parties, we can look to that as one factor in determining this. And we can set aside the 1,000 pages of materials that show that Phoenix Imagery is an Indiana company
I'm lost. General Motors has subsidiaries all over the country.
Correct.
General Motors may negotiate in Detroit on behalf of itself and its subsidiaries. But if one of the policies says this is issued on, you know, to insure X corporation, an Illinois corporation which runs a big assembly plant in Rockford, one would think that Illinois law would govern that policy. An Illinois policy issued on an Illinois risk, even though General Motors negotiated it in Detroit and was a parent corporation and has its principal place of business in Detroit. Isn't that perfectly straightforward?
It seems straightforward, but I don't think that the facts for GM would be the same facts as here, where
we come back to the question whether, if ACS is an Indiana company and it's negotiating in part on behalf of an Illinois company and discloses it's an Illinois company, that it can get an Illinois insurance policy for this Illinois company. I don't know why it's different. There may be the question whether Phoenix is an Illinois company. But that, I take it, we just have to think is up in the air at the moment.
Well, there is one other answer to that, Your Honor, and that is that we sent, Nautilus sent requests for admissions to Phoenix Imagery. And those were deemed admitted because she never responded to them one way or the other. And so it is judicially admitted and therefore not contestable by Phoenix Imagery that Phoenix Imagery used the Home Office of American Community Services as the mailing address for Phoenix Imagery at the instruction of personnel of American Community Service. But that's not all. Says that Phoenix Imagery has obtained all of its insurance through its contacts with American Community Service. And that it used American Community Service to provide its contracting, accounting, record keeping, banking, financing, personnel management, taxes, and formation. So when asked, where is the place of business? Further, they use the telephone number for American Community Service. That's what's in their marketing materials. So when asked, where's the principal place of business? The facts show that if you wanted to call them, you would call ACS in Indiana. If you wanted to write to them, you would contact ACS in Indiana. If you wanted to tax them, you would have to look to the Articles of Incorporation, which shows the principal place of business in Indiana. If they wanted to make a claim, or if you wanted to contact them because they had a claim against them, in the application for insurance, the claim contact person is LaVon Ellis, who's the president of ACS, and an Indiana telephone number is given. So if you wanted to contact Phoenix Imagery with respect to a claim on the insurance policy, you'd call Indiana. Every single fact.
And these are all based on the fact that there was no response made to the request for
admission. In addition to that, what's in the request for admission is set out in our brief at page 20, and that is that they use the Home Office for mailing. In the application for insurance, they set out the claim contact information of LaVon Ellis. In their marketing materials, they set out ACS's telephone number and the 219 area code. And in the Articles of Incorporation, which are set out in our appendix, tab 5.
And this was submitted in support of your motion for summary.
Yes, Your Honor. And so we take all of that against the post-litigation, self-serving affidavit of Lynn Harvey, which really is no better than...
When you say post-litigation, when was that?
She prepared the affidavit in connection with the motion for summary judgment in this case.
Then in what sense is it post-litigation?
Well, post-litigation in this case, post-filing of litigation.
What?
After the complaint was filed, she prepared...
The thing that happens in discovery is post-litigation in that sense.
Well, the document was prepared...
Was it before Judge Sharp with regard to the summary judgment?
Correct.
Yeah, all right.
It was prepared to... So it really is no more evidence of anything than is the statement in the insurance policy itself.
What?
That...
It's an affidavit, right? Affidavits are evidence. This is made on personal knowledge. It's not... Not hearsay, it's not rumor or speculation. This is what a summary judgment record looks like. It's made up of affidavits and declarations and the like. How can you possibly say it's not evidence of anything?
Well, if we wait...
They say, we'll have to check, that if it conflicts with admissions, the admissions will win. I mean, that may be a rule of law, but one cannot possibly say it's not evidence.
Yes, Your Honor, you're correct there. It's
did your request for admissions address matters that were in that affidavit?
No. Well, to this extent, and I'll read it just so that's clear. Prior to June 9, 2004, Phoenix Imagery used the home office of American Community Service as the mailing address for Phoenix Imagery, Inc., at the instruction of personnel of American Community Services, Inc.
Is that contrary, as you view, to the affidavit?
In my view, it is. If we look at principal place of business, as I understand it, it is where would you contact this outfit?
No. Principal place of business is where the corporation's actual headquarters are.
And
General Motors hires a contractor to receive and sort mail for it, and that contractor is in Ohio. General Motors' principal place of business remains in Michigan.
But General Motors, I think, its articles of incorporation would show its principal place of business to be in, I assume, Michigan.
Articles of incorporation don't show a corporation's principal place of business.
In Indiana, they do. Under Article 1, name and principal office of Phoenix Imageries, it's set out at tab 5. It sets it out as Michigan City, Indiana. So,
I mean, when you incorporate, it's automatic, its principal place of business is in the state?
That's what she declared, Lynn Harvey.
Oh, you mean that's her own, that's not the form.
It's in the form, and that is, it's in tab 5. It's what she declared to Indiana in 2002 when she made the corporation. It says Article 1, name and principal office, and then it says principal office. The address of the principal office of the corporation is 1 Marine Drive, Apartment A, Michigan City, Indiana.
What are you looking at?
It's in tab 5 of Nautilus's appendix, Appellee Nautilus Insurance Company's appendix, and it's not numbered. It would be the gray back.
But is that the filing with the state of Indiana?
Yes, Your Honor. It's file stamped, received Indiana Secretary of State, February 24, 2002, or 2003, sorry. So, but if we really look to what's in 188, where was this negotiated? That's the first thing we look to. That's the first factor under Article 180, Restatement 188. And it's plain, not controverted, that ACS negotiated this. They negotiated the price of the contract. They negotiated what needed to be in it. They negotiated themselves as an additional insured. And all of that was done in Indiana. B, the place of contracting. The contract was made in Indiana. It was delivered to Michael Bergeron, ACS's lawyer in Michigan City, Indiana. And if we look at Section E, only when you get down to Section E, and only with respect to Phoenix Imagery, because Go Innovators, one of the other shells, and Unified Stars have been defaulted and therefore have admitted the facts in our complaint, which state that Indiana law governs this proceeding. It's already been adjudicated. There's no coverage for ACS. And the Indiana law applies, and they didn't even appeal. So the only one left they could possibly be argued about, and then only under one of the five factors of 188, and then only based upon the single statement by Lynn Harvey without any factual basis.
It sounds like you're now saying, in response to my earlier question, that if General Motors in Detroit negotiates for insurance for itself and its subsidiaries, even if it declares that one of its subsidiaries does business in Illinois, and indeed only there, that Michigan law will govern the insurance of the big fabrication plant in Illinois?
Under that
doesn't
set
sound
of,
very plausible.
Under that set of facts, that may be so, but that's not the set of facts we have here. Because here...
You have heard of hypothetical questions, I take
it. Yes, Your Honor. I see my time is up.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Mr. Ratzak, anything further?
you. With respect to the Indiana Incorporation and the Articles of Incorporation, we cited the statute in our brief. If you are incorporated in Indiana, you have to have, you have to give Indiana what's called a principal office. It's by statute. You need to maintain a principal office in Indiana, which explains why that was done there. It's not your principal place of business. It's on the form.
I'm now completely lost. The Supreme Court of the United States held in 1856, I believe, that states cannot require that. Maybe you mean that Indiana demands that you have an office of an agent for service of process?
Actually, in reading the statute, Your Honor, we cited it in the Indiana Code. I read it to say you need an Indiana office and a registered agent. I was surprised to see it. I don't know how you can do it. But that's why that's on the form that you get from the state of Indiana.
It sounds like that was unconstitutional at the time Indiana joined the Union.
I would not quarrel with that. But it's Indiana Code 23.1.21.2. It's in the brief. And that's how I read it. I don't have it in front of me, but I wouldn't have said it wasn't there. The other point, Your Honors, is that the state, Nautilus, Jim Corr, which is Nautilus agent, everybody dealt with these businesses as if they were in Illinois, because that's where the policies came. Yeah. And I think that if that's where the policies come, that's where you're doing business.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you very much.
Case is taken under advisement.